Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Getting a fair number of radio listeners calling in tonight, which I'm always happy about. So we will get back to the phone calls and your thoughts here in moments. Here with you, it's Ian,
Peakless Mountaineer,
and the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Just a moment ago, we had a gentleman on the line. He did drop off the line shortly after that segment, so I guess he had said his piece or asked his questions, and he wanted to move on. But Peakless, you had something you wanted to address in regards to one of the questions, which was about the idea of the non-aggression principle. For listeners that aren't familiar, that's sort of the bedrock principle of libertarianism, the idea that it's, you know, not okay to use the threat of violence or actual violence against our neighbors in order to get them to behave in a certain way, essentially.
Right.
And so you were going to say you wanted to address the question of the non-aggression principle in regards to raising children,
right,
as there was a previous discussion about this.
Yeah, and this comes up very frequently, honestly, about, like, well, wait a second. You know, when you're raising a kid, you have to make choices for them. And by all appearances, like, you have to treat them in a way that it would not be okay for you to treat an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, well, that child wanted to cross the street right then, but you grabbed them out of the street because you didn't feel that it was safe for them to cross at that point.
Right.
If you treated an adult like that, that would be weird at the very least and kind of and potentially aggressive. So here's the thing about just broad stroke. Here's how the whole thing works with raising children. They are in trust to you. So there's this thing called a trust where, like, I can give you a piece of my property and you have to act on my behalf with that property. Now, you can't take that. It would be a violation of the trust if you went, oh, well, you've given me $100. Well, I'm going to go spend that at the tracks on my own gambling, or I'm going to go, buy some gold with it and put it in my safe, or, you know, all these things. You have to act for my benefit and not for your own. So children, their entire lives, like, everything that they are, their bodies, their any property that they earn, during that period of time, they are entrusted to what we call the parent or guardian, but really it's the trustee. So during this period of time, because it's just a thing that happens, you are born stupid. You do not know how this world works. You are incapable of all the things.
And dependent on your mother.
Exactly.
For food and, you know, nourishment and care and shelter, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
And your father, too.
Now, that stupidity goes away over time. And it's very similar to the idea of, like, if someone is drunk and you are their friend, you might really want to look out for them. And you might keep them from doing stupid things because you know them and you're going to act in their best interest. And when they are sober, you expect them to be glad that them from doing these stupid things.
You're going to hold their hair while they worship the porcelain god?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Now, we all come into this world with approximately zero capabilities. We can eat and poop and that's about it. Mm-hmm. And scream. That's really all we can do.
About the same way we go out.
Yeah. Now, over time, we gain the ability to make informed and complete decisions. Now, yeah, this is biology, so there's not a nice cut and dry, it is precisely 18 in which you are definitely capable of doing all the things, no matter who you are. But we do our best to figure this out. And we know that it happens at some point that you become a full adult. And that's an unfortunate fact of our cultures that we don't actually have that, like, hey, you are now a complete adult.
Well, we don't really have a cultural barometer for that, because the only barometer we have is the legal barometer.
Right.
Which makes absolutely no sense.
Right. So if somebody is far advanced in their thought process and their maturity at age, 17, for example, but somebody who's 29 is still, they don't quite get how to take care of themselves. Yeah. There's no cultural phenomenon to account for these things.
And I think there's a very easy way to do that, and it's just when they can fend for themselves.
Let's go to the phones here. I got Joy on the line. She's listening also in Spokane to KXLY. Hello, Joy.
I jumped.
Hi there.
Hey, Joy.
Spokane.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, way to go, Ian. Your non-regional dialect is showing.
Yeah, and it's Gonzaga, not Gonzaga. Anyway.
I know these things because I lived in Washington State for a while, but no one else knows these things.
I've never Gonzaga.
What's on your mind, Joy?
I'm too black and white type of person, but I just don't understand how the world that you describe or allude to works in our world right now with 360 million people in our country and such close, the world is so close with technology and everything else. How does what you talk about, how can it be implemented?
So just to clarify, what we talk about is already implemented in day-to-day life, right? So when you go around in your life and you go shopping or you go to work or you go see some friends or whatever it is that you're going to do, you don't put a gun up against somebody's head and tell them what to do, right?
Voluntarism is everywhere.
You interact with people on a voluntary basis, on a consensual basis. Somebody wants to sell you something, you understand that you have to pay for it. You're willing to do these things. You don't go around attacking your friends to get them to do the things that you want them to do. You don't threaten them to come see a movie with you or go play golf or whatever it is that you want to do. So most people, the super majority of them, already get along on a voluntary, consensual basis. There are only certain psychopaths and sociopaths out there who think it's okay to use violence to get their way. And there are some of these people who are just your average thug. And you can use a gun and defend yourself against that person, and no one will blink at that. They'll say, good for you, most places, good for you defending yourself. But the psychopaths who get into political office, on the other hand, everybody thinks they got some sort, their S doesn't stink, and they can totally tell everybody what to do, and we have to obey them because they got a bunch of other psychos with guns and cells who they'll throw you in there if you don't do what they say. And that's all we're really trying to change here, Joy, is we're trying to disempower those psychopaths, and so people can keep having the good life that we already have.
And just to sort of to speak to the, there's 320 million of us now, there's so many, we've got to have this complex system to manage all these people. Well, so now you can buy a pair of sneakers that were made in China, and the people that made those sneakers live to completely different standards of behavior than you would expect. Like, what you expect of your neighbors is not what they expect where those sneakers were made. But that doesn't change the fact that I can just pay to have those made, and now I've got a pair of sneakers at a good price. Now, in the same way, we want a place where we will live our way, and we can still interact with everyone, even though their standards of living are different from our standards of living.
Yep. Well, I think, I have a trouble with whatever mechanism it is, if it's the economic system or whatever systems there are people who are going to continually get hurt. And I don't, unfortunately, I like to believe that there's ultimate goodness in people.
We're
all sinners. But when people start getting resources and power, and it doesn't have to be political, others get hurt. So that's why and whether or not it's a governmental answer, it doesn't have to be. But, that's why initially I worked for the EPA.
Yeah.
People went there, and this was in the 1970s. We were there because rivers were starting on fire. in the United States. And so there was an intent to try to not have that happen. You know, that it's, there's still so many systems in place, and they're not just political, they're also corporate, so many systems in place that are keeping minorities down. And so that's where I,
well, hold on, just to,
I don't see
to address your
world where the free market system doesn't, in my mind, doesn't work, that people, stronger and more powerful people, which tends to be white males, are going to keep other people down.
Let me address something for you, Joy. Having a lack of an institution where psychopaths gather to do violence to the rest of us doesn't necessarily mean that the rest of humanity is going to behave themselves and, you know, everything's going to be all flowers and utopia. That's not what we're after, and that's not the picture we're painting. What we are saying, though, is let's look at who the number one biggest offender of human atrocities is in all of Earth's history. And that is the organization calling themselves government, an institution. Now, all we're saying is let's do away with that institution in the same way we did away with slavery. Right. When we did away with slavery, no one knew that, oh, who's going to pick the cotton? Right. No one knew that it would be, you know, juiced from the ground, refined and put into machines that, you know, churn, you know, that emit fire and smoke and, you know, churn the fields to pick the cotton. No one knew that at the time. All people knew was slavery is wrong. And what we're saying is having an institution of violence known as government is just as wrong as having overt slavery, and we should do away with that institution immediately.
Well, the problem is I think that we would recreate it. I mean, one of your comments was, I think that's what's human nature, is that they then want to organize, and then people want to get into power.
Hold on just a second. So if you like, let's assume that you're right. Let's assume that you are correct. Like we have a crystal ball, we're sure that we will end up right in this statist mess that we're in right now. At least we will have a period of time where we are not in this statist mess. We will at least have that period of time. And frankly, that is the worst case scenario, is to end right back in a position where we have the institution known as government.
Well, first of all, I just want to address what you said there, Joy, before you go on, about this idea. If you were to press a button, the magic button, and make the government disappear tomorrow, then yes, people would immediately begin rebuilding towards that, because that's what people currently believe in. That's the paradigm that people are living underneath. In order to get to what we're talking about, a world without institutionalized violence, a world without a monopoly on violence, as Barack Obama described it correctly, then we have to have a shift. We have to have a paradigm shift. We have to have a renaissance in the way that people think about these things. And if we can accomplish that, or when we can accomplish that, then the people who have had that shift will not go back, in the same way that we're not going back to slavery. Right? There's not much of a clamoring for that these days. Go ahead.
Yeah, but there's other types of slavery. So
there are.
You know, it changes. And so,
like taxes.
And
like
it's slavery. Much less bad.
Like, for example, the words you say sound good. There's a lot of areas that I'm diametrically opposed to what you say. And so it's kind of like, well, how do we reach a point to, like, I think guns need to be controlled. And as, you know, I think I've had a conversation before with you that
by
it was
people
like,
with guns?
No, I just, I
who's
don't
controlling
want,
them? Like, it's hurdles all the way down. Like, oh, well, we need the guns controlled. Well, who's going to control the people controlling the guns?
But I just, well, I would say, see, I...
And so far, those are the biggest murderers, so...
Absolutely.
I don't want my great-nephews and great-nieces to be scared to go to school. And... So they're saying.
Well, it sounds like you should take them out of public school then.
No, I fully support public school, and
that's where all the murders are happening.
Many people in my anyway.
And also, I mean, the statistics show pretty clearly you don't get a very good education there.
But what I'm saying, hey, you know, people in my family have done quite well, and they've all gone to public schools. But
well, then, that's,
I have a lot of
then they did
in the
so
family.
In spite of their education.
Oh, I don't think so. But anyway, I'm just saying, like, today I marched in a pride parade. And Spokane, it was amazing. And I marched with my church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, again, even church as an institution can impose a lot of harm. But
especially when they have free rein to cause violence without any repercussion.
Right. But so I think it's with individuals to then counter that. Like, there's hundreds of bills being proposed that are anti-LGBTQ that are just, I think the source of them is a lot of hate. So,
and wouldn't it be great if we could take away the ability to enforce those hateful bills?
Right, those men and women who want to use that hate that you're talking about, they want to use violence to stop people from being gay in public or from being trans or from doing a drag show or whatever. They want to use violence,
right.
Guns, the guns of government, to stop those things from happening. And we're saying those people shouldn't have that power, and neither should your people either. There should be no power like that where you get to use violence to force your neighbors to do what you want them to.
Yeah. Well, and I agree, but I think that people tend to form, and it starts with PTA and everything else. And so I guess from my standpoint,
we're not trying to say that there shouldn't be groups of people, like nothing of the sort. No, there should absolutely be groups of people. Human is a social animal. We're just saying that none of those groups should be allowed to use violence and threats without that at least being something that people aren't okay with.
Well, and so I guess that's where I'm not quite sure how I fully understand all that, but I think that there's still a role for government that we need to change what government looks like.
What should it look like to you?
I find it much easier to understand on the local level than I do at higher levels. But in work that I've done, like through faith-based community organizing, I did that in Palo Alto, California, we were able to work with the county commission. We were able to work with the city council. And we did it not with violence, but we did it by bringing people who don't usually have power to the table to have power.
Mm.
And
the thing is, what you're not doing is you're not seeing the violence inherent in the system. So whenever you talk about the city,
I've had wonderful 67 years on Earth, and so I probably haven't encountered the things that you've encountered,
lucky. And a city council, now, they have the power to tax people in that city, right?
Yeah.
And if people don't want to pay that tax, then they go to jail.
And for me,
they'll probably have their house stolen from them.
Yeah, like maybe they'll have their house stolen from them, but like these are all threats. That's the thing that you're not grappling with, is that the city council only has power because of force.
But I can vote on that.
No,
and
you
so
can't.
If we have levies or if we have other things, we can vote
no,
on that.
No, you really can't. There's not going to be a vote to abolish the property tax anytime soon, because that's part and parcel of how the system works.
But we don't have a state tax in Washington, and that's through voting.
Joy, when you vote, what you're doing is you're saying, I want to force my preference onto these other people over here. And that is always wrong. It's always wrong to force your preference onto other people. It's fine for you to have your own preferences. You get to choose those. What's not right is for you to force your preferences on anyone else.
Well, see, I find that there's a stronger role for community, and I think that it's not that one community forces itself, but I think that we have to think of each other when we do make our decisions on how we're going to live our
life. That sounds really great.
Yeah, no, that's great.
I don't think you should confuse a community, which is a voluntary association of people, with a government, which is an involuntary association. So if you want to go and raise money to help somebody, I think that's absolutely fantastic, mm-hmm. whether it be as helping the poor or helping the sick or the elderly or, you know, kids or whatever it is, you know, whoever needs help, that's absolutely great. Fundraise that. Do it through a church. Do it through, you know, the Shriners or whoever it is that's out there raising money and doing good acts. That's what should be happening. The wrong way to go about helping, quote unquote, is to go to the government and demand that they do a thing, which would, of course, then mean they have to tax people.
Again, I don't think that, like, I think if you look at the NIH or if you look at some of these other organizations, I don't think a lot could have been achieved in our country without some of this government infrastructure.
Okay, and, well, that's because you're not looking at the alternative. So if you look at all the places where there's less violence, you see more innovation. So, for example, like, they're starting to finally put the screws to it these days, but in technology, in the internet, like, there was immense productivity and innovation because there was very, very little regulation in these areas. And if
there was money
yeah,
from the government.
Heck yeah, there was.
So again.
Yeah, there's got to be money.
But what I'm saying is that I think that there can be, I feel like that the government can play a needed and positive role. Because people self-interest ends up with immigrant farm workers being starved and drinking polluted water. Or, you know, there's just things that people
This is twice you've mentioned the environmental thing. And the environmental thing is a problem of government. Now, our particular court system, we ended up inheriting the British tradition where environmental damage to people was acceptable and you just couldn't effectively sue for it. That's why the rivers lit on fire. But let me run an idea past you just real quick. So, okay, think about this city council, right? And now they've got, you know, some ability to do some things. Now imagine, what if all of the money that they had came not because they threatened people, but because we gathered together and voluntarily handed them some money to do projects that would be good for our community?
But it only goes so far. So I'm a grant writer for a nonprofit.
You really don't believe that people are good then? Because,
no,
look,
they
these
are,
people wouldn't have but, this money if they hadn't promised us that that's what they'd do with it.
I know, but even when I'm working with these nonprofits, if there wasn't a source oftentimes of some governmental funding, the nonprofits they'd fade away.
Well, if they can't get people to fund them on their own volition, then maybe they shouldn't exist.
Do not require force.
Yeah. Thank you for the call tonight, Joy. I definitely appreciate your struggling and you're trying to have this conversation. I wish we could keep going.
Please call again.
We got other people that are on the line here. So, yeah, call again another time. More coming up.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump is calling his criminal indictment a, quote, travesty of justice. Speaking at the state GOP convention in Georgia Saturday afternoon, Trump told supporters it will go down as, quote, among the most horrific abuses in the history of our country. The 37-count federal indictment was unsealed against Trump on Friday. President Biden says the largest pride celebration took place Saturday at the White House. He called the LGBTQ community, quote, some of the bravest and most inspiring people. The U.S. is sending another $2 billion security assistance package to Ukraine. Pope Francis is recovering from hernia surgery, but the 86-year-old pontiff will remain in the hospital through the week. Arcangelo is atop the leaderboard at the 155th Belmont Stakes. Jenna Antonucci is the first female trainer to win at the Belmont. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
If that's the case, I would ask you all to, if you don't get in tonight, we still have another half hour of the radio show here, but there's a whole other show that's going to be coming up a little bit later on tonight, about an hour from now.
Are you talking about a shirt that has some sort of a logo that they've made and perhaps have some sort of merchandise apparel?
Beard Talk Live, you mean? Weren't you wearing that shirt earlier tonight? Oh, you still are. Okay.
Wait, hold on.
He's stripping
hold
here
on.
In the studio.
Play the strip music. What is it?
Yeah, there it is. All right, Beard Talk Live comes up later tonight. That's 10:30 Eastern time. So a half hour after we wrap up the radio show. We go online only. No FCC to get in the way. No
That's commercial breaks
to get in the way.
FCC it. We'll do it live.
Yeah, I think you guys take a smoke break at some point.
We only take one break
during the program. Yeah. That's like an hour into it at least. Maybe an hour and a half.
Usually about halfway.
Yeah, so that comes up later tonight. You can only see it on our video streaming platform. So check out watch.freetalklive.com. We'll take you right to the stream page on Odyssey. So just be there at 10:30 Eastern, and you guys will kick off Beard Talk Live at that time. Are you coming up on 50-some episodes?
We're coming up.
Where are you at?
We're at 43, I think.
Yeah. I feel like you're higher than that. Is it 43?
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure last episode was The Answer to Life, the Universe, and Everything.
All right. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to go back to your calls and thoughts. There was one other thought I had. We had Joy on the line a moment ago. Interesting conversation.
Oh, yeah.
It took a whole segment about the government and her kind of...
It's a good call. She was,
very interesting, very open-minded.
Yeah.
Willing to consider different viewpoints. And it's hard after 67 years to... You know, consider the potential that you might have this all wrong, this being beliefs about government and how society could be organized without the use of organized violence, which is, of course, what ultimately the government as we know it is.
Yeah, and that thought sure shakes the foundations of your whole worldview.
No doubt. And she mentioned this idea that I think a lot of people believe, but I don't think there's really any evidence for it, that those who are in the government are somehow not self-interested.
Right.
And I think we've seen plenty of evidence that they are absolutely self-interested.
That's
we were just talking about the president apparently taking a $5 million bribe with his son earlier tonight. And, of course, you know, Trump's in it for his self-interest, and all the local politicians are in it for their self-interest, which may be helping their own business, punishing the businesses that are competing with them, or whatever it is that they're into this for. It might be just aggrandizing power to them or their family name or whatever. If they're pretending that they have no self-interest, you know you're being lied to.
Right.
So, anyway, that's just one other thing. Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts here. We have Barrett on the line calling from Idaho. Barrett, are you listening on the radio out there?
No, I turn the radio off because usually I'm listening through the phone. You had the phone on. I was listening to the radio, but
okay, great.
I know it's interference. So
no, thanks. I just wondering if you were on the radio initially. All right, so what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, was a delayed feedback time and stuff like that, so I usually turn that off. So
yeah, no, you got to turn it off when you're on hold. I just wanted to make sure you were a radio listener. Anyway, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm a radio listener. This is the first time listening, actually, and thank you for taking my call.
All right,
I've heard the comment, and to comment on your last thing you said, actually, history has repeated itself from the beginning of time, and
here.
I know it's going to be uncomfortable about further history, but you have to have documentation. You know, it's like you were talking about the dictionary. You have a way of a standard to go to look at what history was. You know, they got to have it written down. 1984, they started destroying books and destroying, you know, the book 1984. 1948, which they actually have in Czechoslovakia, they talked about. But you look at, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on that aspect of that stuff, but people can do their homework on that. He was a former CIA operative that knew what was coming down, and that was turned into communism. Some people want the communism in this country. I'll touch on that in a second. But basically, that actually comes into if you look at documentation of, you said a dictionary. Well, I have a history book that I use that is a foundational history book from the beginning of time, and it's called the Bible, Basic Instruction for Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E.
I've never heard Bible as an acronym before. That's awesome. Did you know that Book A is also an acronym?
What's that one?
Big, ugly, fat effers eating together.
Big, ugly, what?
Fat effers. I can't say the word on radio. I can't say the other F word. Yeah.
Oh, I got you. Let me turn up my radio a little bit.
Okay. So you already turned the radio off.
Phone up a little bit. I'm sorry. I'm just hanging on the phone.
So what's the point? You seem a little scattered here, Barrett. Are you driving at, like, one point in particular?
Yeah, let me get to the point. You were talking about the history of time, like, as far as somebody was talking about the history of time. And the point is, as far as the government, as far as the structure of government, we've searched for a king, and that has been coming. That has been from the book of Samuel, and people can read the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 8. You read that, and you were talking about Joe Biden's sons. Well, that actually happened with Samuel's sons. They were judges, and right out of the NASB, his sons, however, did not walk in the ways, but turned aside in dishonest gain and took bribes.
So wait a minute. Are you telling me that politicians and their families have been corrupt since biblical times? I am shocked. Shocked to find this out.
Wait, are you also telling me that it was the church itself who wanted to control people and put things in their own books, their own literature that would aid them in controlling people and spawning the organization we know as government today?
No, that doesn't help you control people. No. Quite the opposite. Like, this actually
threatening people with burning in hell if you don't do as the good book says?
Yeah, that's not
controlling people?
Yeah, that's not actually in there. But you're talking a completely different book now. But anyway, no, so there's actually a part in
religions all function in basically the same way. It's fear-driven, just like politics. Just like, that's why I continue to refer to government as a religion. Because government does the exact same thing. They have all the ritual, all the pomp and circumstance that religions do. They have their prophets. They have their deities. They have the throne, the king that our caller is referring to that people seek out. They have all of that. And it's time for people to do away with all of that.
Well,
right? You can have your religion. You can be as religious as you want to be. You can have your organizations and all that stuff. Just stop controlling people. That's all.
Sure.
Well, so here's the thing, though. When there's something that comes along that actually has the power to make people more free, which most Christians, I'll grant you, don't even remember that was the point, and that's actually how you're supposed to identify Yahweh, is because he brings you out of the house of bondage.
Right.
But when they find something that could actually help you become more free, the first thing they want to do is own it and control it. So, like, Gary Gensler just said this thing about, like, we don't need digital currency because we already have it. It's the dollar. It's the yen. And see, here's this thing that's making people free, that has the potential to make them completely free, and the first thing they want to do is make sure that they control it. So, like, no, you can own Bitcoin, but only if you do it through the NASDAQ, so that the corporation or the bank actually does the owning part of it, but you get to have an account with them.
So, anyway.
And that's what happened with religion.
They wanted to dominate and control.
So I apologize.
Barrett, any thoughts? Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate your feedback on that. There's two people there. I'm wondering, who's the usually there's a lead person and a person that's the first person I talk to, and then the second person. That's the only way I can.
Yeah, it's okay. You're new to the show. Sorry, there's actually three people on the air here tonight. Usually we have three hosts, and I'd like to invite you to call in again at another time. Thank you, Barrett, for the call. I appreciate it. We are here 7 nights a week. We do this thing live from, I think he's on the West Coast, so 4 to 7 Pacific and Eastern time, 7 to 10 at night Eastern. So, you know, if you feel like you got more to say, you know how you can reach us. Let's go to the phones here. We've got Chad is on the line here. Chad, you're on Free Talk Live in, I think, Michigan.
Yep, I'm in Michigan. How's it going?
Welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just the conversation with Joy was pretty interesting. I think this is why voluntarism and secession are really such important concepts, because voluntarism, you could have any government you want under voluntarism, really. I mean, it's just a matter of whether or not you're voluntarily associated into it. And what she was saying about local government being something she wants to work with, as a voluntarist, I have no problem with that. You know, that's the thing is that with voluntarism, you could have a whole menu of governments.
Yeah, hey, I want to have the roads cleared, okay? I want to have the snow cleared from the roads during the wintertime up here. I'm sure you guys want that in Michigan as well. And I'm willing to pay for that service, right? And to a lesser extent, fire protection, I'm okay with that, right? Like, there's a few things that the more local governments have monopolized over the years that could absolutely be done in a market environment.
Are you saying that everything governments do is either a product or a service, and that in the absence of government, those products and services, as long as they have value to people, would be provided
would
in another
continue.
Way?
I wouldn't say everything they do, because stealing would be the
other thing. If it had value, right? But also at a lower cost.
Well, hold on. Let's examine the claim here. So what about the service of putting you in jail if you steal? Is that something you want?
No.
No?
No, I'd rather see restitution than jail time for most things with a victim.
Well, that sounds like you wouldn't want a government then.
No, I definitely wouldn't.
And sure, there's plenty of people who would. And you know what? More power to you. Just don't try and bring that on me.
Go ahead, John.
All I'm trying to say is that it really doesn't matter. I mean, what you're saying, I agree with, because if I were to have my own kind of government that I would want, it would be similar to what you guys are talking about. Mm-hmm. But other people aren't there yet. They don't trust it, whatever. That's fine, because if they want to have their form of government and see if it works,
let them.
That's perfectly fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why secession is so important, because what we need now is not even maybe just state secession, even municipal secession, or making new municipalities that actually have power. And you just don't need the state and federal. They really don't do anything but interfere. I mean, if you own a business, you only really deal with county and city governments anyway.
Yeah.
And if you want to have even a fascist government, I don't really care. I just don't want to live there.
Yeah, right. I hear you. How's it going there in Michigan with the secession movement? Do you guys even have one?
Michigan, there actually is a UP secession movement.
Right.
But I don't live in the UP, and there's definitely no substantial one here.
Have you thought about moving to New Hampshire?
Oh yes, big time. I've been to New Hampshire quite a few times. I was intending on moving, but I had a daughter. She's a year old now, and it would be basically her mom was not going to move. So I don't know what I could do. But
yeah, we'll see you in 20 years.
Well, maybe not. Actually, what I would like to do is get some property out there at least, and possibly stay part of the year. But I mean, yeah, with a kid, it's.
Are you still together with the mom, or are you guys divorced or whatever?
Well, we were never really. It was kind of I knocked her up, when I met her. So I mean,
you're as married as you ever were.
Complicated situation.
That's really fast. You did it right when you met her.
I had to.
Oops.
Well, pretty close to it.
All right, Chad. Good luck out there, man. And hopefully you can get her to come to New Hampshire and like check out the Porcupine Freedom. Like, see if you can drag her to the Porcupine Freedom Festival here in a couple weeks or next year, whenever you get her to convince her. And see what she thinks about that. Because actually, I think it's warmer here than it is in Michigan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably is.
It depends. Yeah. Up north, up near Rogers, it's not. But I'll be at Porkfest, hopefully.
Now stop by and say hello at the Free Talk Live tent to whoever it is that happens to be around. Probably won't be me because the feds don't want me to go. But thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Let's continue here. We've got this caller on screen. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, I'm Andrew from Tennessee.
Andrew, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
I just had a thought about the caller earlier. She kept bringing up the EPA and all that stuff. And I had a thought that with the non-aggression principle, wouldn't it alleviate some of these environmental problems? Because I'm under the impression with the non-aggression principle that if somebody's attacking your property or your person, then you can defend yourself. And so I would assume if somebody's polluting the environment so much that it's coming downstream and polluting my water supply, I would consider that an act of aggression.
Yes, yeah.
And because so I feel like I would have a right to. Am I thinking about that right?
Yeah,
absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah, you would have a tort.
Yeah, that's the part people don't think about is the fact that you are not allowed to do anything to the people who are poisoning you is because of government.
They're protecting them,
BP. And the government is actually the ones causing a lot of the problems that are causing these big companies to. They're allowing them to dump millions of gallons of waste into a river system and pollute the population, but you have no recourse against them. And so I think where that caller is confused is she's not understanding where the government comes in and they're actually causing these problems that the non-aggression principle would actually alleviate.
Yes, they're protecting a lot of the corporate polluters, and don't forget the military is actually the biggest polluter, I think more than
on
the top
face
four.
Of the earth.
Yeah,
they're doing that around the world, so we don't worry about that.
Right. That's not in my backyard.
It takes a while, though, for people to begin to see the Force, and I don't mean this in like Star Wars, the Force, right? Begin to see the coercion in their everyday situations. And like sometimes I don't even see it, and I hang around with people like this to say, oh, no, it's this and that. So you know how this works. Yeah, okay, well, it's just like that, and people will explain it to you. And that's why we're here doing this radio show, is to explain it to other people, because it takes a while for you to really latch onto it and be able to find the coercion in these situations. But once you do, all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, and see, I've seen it for years. I feel like I've seen it more of my life than less of my life, and that's why I get kind of ostracized, because People are like, oh, you're just complaining, you're just a... I'm like, no, I'm trying to be positive because I want you to see the reality so you can actually react in the appropriate way, you know, instead of being like, I call it being being an ostrich, you know, you're just putting your head in your in the sand and, you know, ostriching your way through life, you know.
No one ever told the doctor that told them about their cancer, you're just being negative. And that's exactly what we're trying to do is like, hey, we're sick. Here's the cause. Here's the symptoms. Here's the exact kind of illness that we have.
Here's
how we can cure it completely. Well, you're just being negative.
Anyways, I just had that epiphany, like when she was talking, and I was thinking, I was like,
yeah,
well, you know,
insight.
The non-aggression principle, 100%. That solves it. That's
property rights.
Right there.
Property rights. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that side of it.
What she's talking about is creating the problem instead of finding solutions. And I was like, man, that's the solution right there.
Yeah. So, you nailed it, dude. Thanks for the call, man.
I'm going to listen to Beer Talk later.
All right, very cool. Thanks for the call.
This is what I refer to as the fog of statism.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was in it for the longest time. Took me 38-ish years to begin to just even consider, like, oh, is government evil? And it is. And does it only has one tool, and that's violence and coercion, and that's all it ever... Oh, it really does. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be open-minded enough to consider it, and ask yourself, is this true? Look at it objectively. Is this true? Then follow the evidence. If you follow the evidence, it becomes insanely clear. Mm-hmm. Like, the evidence is overwhelming once you start to look at it, but it takes a while to come out of that fog of statism.
Right. It's like putting on the glasses and they live.
Yeah. Yes. That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah.
The shock to the system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the beer goggles.
And all of a sudden, everything's black and white, and you can see what the messages are really about.
Let's go to the phones here. Skeeter is on the line in California. Skeeter, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm the guy who keeps calling about, you know, challenging the NAP.
The non-aggression principle.
Yeah, the non-aggression principle, which is just a prototype, right? But, I bring up these scenarios about kids. You know, that's the guy, the bearded guy talking about, like, his explanation, his kind of...
There's more than one bearded guy in the studio, by the way.
You heard
the
my...
The one he talked about, you know, he tried to, you know, explain it. But,
yeah, so the child is in a trust. So while they are in a trust,
I heard your explanation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What were you calling about?
I thought we were going to have a conversation. My bad.
What was it you wanted to say, Skeeter?
I heard that already. I heard your explanation.
Okay, let's get to what you wanted to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, so let me just status again. I'm what's called, I'm a market anarchist. I'm an evolutionary utilitarian. That's what I like to call myself. I made that up. There's no other label that I've never found a school of thought that kind of coincides with my real principles that are actually consistent. You know, I reject the Austrian school. I reject the idea of rights, which are inherently statist. I reject the
They're not, but okay.
Yeah, they're inherently statist. They're Lockean.
They're actually the opposite of statist, but go ahead.
The market doesn't provide rights like what you guys talk about.
Oh, an effective one does. It's not some objective thing, but it's efficient. You should appreciate that it's efficient. I mean, his whole focus is what is efficient, what is not efficient. And the thing is that my respecting your rights is actually way more efficient than my not respecting your rights. So if I'm in an economic system where we have the norm of respecting each other's rights, it's a way more efficient economic system than one that doesn't.
Good,
no, it isn't. Not necessarily. Can you just tell me if I'm in mute? Not necessarily. There's instances where you shouldn't respect someone's what you call rights. You know.
Like what? Let's give us an example of where you shouldn't respect someone's rights.
I don't know. Maybe I can talk about this some other. I don't know. I was going to talk about the children's stuff, but like for instance, okay, let's go to children's stuff. It's relevant. So again, let me start off. I just wanted to say too, I'm just glad.
Hey, so you're not
going to
answer
crazy.
That question, right?
Huh? No, I'm come back. I just wanted to. I have one important thing. I just wanted to commend you guys about because you know the last call I had with Aria, she started BSing me with this prototype theory, and I thought I was going insane, you know. And I heard, and Bonnie was agreeing with it, talking about how she's always so principled and agreeing with this prototype theory. Which
I don't even know what you're talking about, dude. We weren't. None of the three of us were listening.
Yeah, I haven't caught up on that episode.
The bald guy was talking about it. The definitions, when he's talking about definitions in Aria, talking about like prototypes and BS.
Yeah, I don't know. Were you talking about that, Captain?
I haven't been on an episode with Aria.
When you guys are talking about definitions.
I don't know.
Then you're talking about not establishing definitions.
Yeah, you've lost us, dude. I'm sorry.
I think he's talking about me saying that people, when they're having a debate, need to agree on the definitions. They don't necessarily need to be the definitions out of dictionaries.
You did say that, yeah.
You were referring to the debate I was having with myself, Aria, Bonnie, and that other chick.
I don't think
when
he was
trying
necessarily.
To get them to define it.
We didn't know what that was all about.
Yeah, I haven't listened to
that. Some other caller had called
you
in
had that debate.
To talk about the definitions
thing. You may have had that debate, and someone might have been calling about that debate, but the three of us in the studio weren't privy to that debate. So let's get back to the question that I think you said you were going to answer, which was in regards to where rights weren't supposed to be recognized.
When I shouldn't recognize someone's rights.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's just get back to the children example, which is what I'm going to do both at once. So can you define the non-aggression principle?
Okay, so you're not going to answer that question, right?
What's that?
You just came back with another question, and you had said you were going to give us an example.
I can't proceed without knowing your definition, your principles, and showing which, because I have to use the term aggression to not respect someone's rights, right? That's aggression, right? When I don't respect someone's rights. So I have to know what aggression is.
I don't know.
So
it may or may not be. It depends.
Every violation of someone's rights.
I'm going to get to it. I just need to establish the definition of aggression, which is not respecting someone's rights.
I wouldn't say that's what aggression is.
Where you agree, you have to use it.
No, because if you have a right to free speech, I don't have to use aggression to, you know, not listen to you, right? Like, here's what I'd like to suggest to you, Skeeter. We never really got anywhere with your call here tonight. He called last night, by the way, and revealed that calls himself his market anarchist or whatever, but he is a utilitarian, and that's what I took away from it. Yeah, he's got a lot to say, so I'd like to suggest you call in later tonight on Beard Talk Live, which will be starting in about a half an hour. You're welcome to hold for that time, or you can call in at a later point. But these guys are going to be on the show, and I'm sure you would love to have him answer that question.
I would adore it.
Get into all the nitty-gritty about the non-aggression principle, and thank you for the call there, Skeeter. I'll leave you on hold in case you just want to hang on for the half hour. You can tune in at watch.freetalklive.com, 10:30 Eastern Time for Beard Talk Live, and who will be the first caller, we'll have to see.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.